welcome to another episode of 20 Minutes with Chad. Chad, what's been up, man? The election's over and your guy didn't win.
Well, you see, that's what cracks me up is I only voted Trump to piss off my liberal friends because what was it? Because originally I was going to vote for the Green Party because I'm a registered Green Party member. So I was going to vote for like Howie Hawkins. But like some of these like liberals are like super hypocritical, two-faced like losers. So they're like, any vote for not for Biden is a vote for Trump. And I was like, well, fuck me. I guess I'm going to vote for Trump then. So I did that and everyone got like butthurt and triggered about it. And I'm just like laughing like, I don't care. It's just like the two choices was like two rich old white men who are millionaires who got to become millionaires through being shady deals. And then you have Biden, who's a 47-year career politician. So I'm like, yeah, like, okay. So that's what cracks me up where everyone's like, yes, Biden's our savior. Yes, yes. And I'm like, wait a minute. So all this Black Lives Matter bullshit and, oh, Trump throwing kids in cages and all that shit. And you're telling me you voted a rich, old white man who's been a career politician for 47 years. Great job, liberals. Great job. Like, I have no problem people shitting on Trump. I'm not a pro-Trump supporter. But I'm just like, wow. Like, and then it's just like, only thing that's kind of stressful, though, is that Trump's being a little baby about it. Like, I don't care what happens. But, like, he still has, like, 2 months left. And I'm thinking, what 2 months is he going to do to fuck up America? That's the only thing, because he's that arrogant about it, where it's just like, well, if I'm a loser, I'm gonna fuck you even more. If the ship sinks, I'm taking it with everyone with me. So that's the type of mentality he is, and I'm just like, but yeah, so that's what that, and it's just like a lot of people kind of crack me up. Like, I don't like Kamala Harris. Like, people, it cracks me up. Everyone's like, oh yes, she's the first like biracial vice president. Da, da, da. She's not a good person. I think she's complete trash. Like, everyone's just like, oh, cause like I grew up in the Bay Area. She was a DA for San Francisco County. So I was like, and she has all this like really shitty record. And then if you have watched when they did the presidential debates, she was always flip-flopping. She was two-faced. She threw Biden under the bus. And she was stealing Bernie Sanders stuff because people were, like, wanting to vote for Bernie Sanders. So she was trying to corporate that so she'll look good. It's just – she's a hoe, I guess, pretty much. I'm just like, whatever. She's like a dick-riding hoe.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah. That's my rant for this, the
politics. I never know.
Yeah.
You didn't – so you voted Trump. So my argument is you say you don't want to vote for a rich guy.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's Trump that? Isn't he rich?
Oh, yeah, he's rich, but he's not a career politician. He's just a dumbass. I'd rather have 4 shit years with him than 8 years of a fucking dictatorship. Like, look at California. Fucking the governor is starting to become like a softcore dictator. Like, he made an announcement and he has this like – Pacific Pact thing he has with Oregon, Washington, Nevada. I think he's trying to get Arizona and Colorado. So when the FDA comes with vaccines and stuff, it has to go through California's strike team to be approved to come into California. Like, he has that. And like right now too is like he's pro like national lockdowns. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, that's the thing. That's the thing Biden said. Like, people don't get Biden's like, he's like, oh, we're going to do 4 to 6 like weeks of national lockdown and da, 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 mandatory vaccines. Like, I'm not taking the vaccine when it comes out. I'm like, I think it's ridiculous because like I haven't, well, I probably have gotten it before, but my immune system is good. But I'm just like, people are like, I don't take the flu shot because every time I get the flu shot, I get the flu. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, there's some vaccines that like polio vaccine stuff. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But I'm not going to do a vaccine that's not tested and then basically get a shot and I grow like a second dick or something. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Because no one knows what's the outcome going to be. For example.
No one will know you have a second dick. Is that what you're worried about?
Yeah, man. I don't want a second dick growing out of my forehead or something because the fucking vaccine has a bunch of side effects. Like, for example, in history during – was it World War I? This black town in the South was tested for polio, and they had a vaccine for it. And almost just, it was a small black neighborhood or black city, I should say. They all fucking died and had diseases and shit from the first test of polio. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, and this is in history books, and people just sit there to like totally brainwashed and not even like notice shit. And I'm like, because they're letting mainstream media dictate and just gives basically give the information they want to give out to push their agenda. So it's just like, but yeah, I'm not a big person on vaccine, the national lockdown. It's like, they're even doing it right now for the holidays here. Like, all these counties are going back to the purple tier. That's what our wonderful governor has. Everything's color tiers now. So everything's going back to purple tiers. Everything's shutting down again. They're saying he's setting up guidelines for the holidays that you can't have more than 3 households, and that you have to write the names and addresses of all the family members who are attending to the health officials, and then like the actual county health officials, and then you can't do anything longer than 2 hours, and you have to bring your own plastic dishes and forks and stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy, right? I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I think this happened during the Holocaust too. I'm like, I'm surprised the Jews are not throwing a fit here. But that's how brainwashed these people are. Like, they don't – history repeats itself, man. Like, every 100 years, people sit there like, da-da-da. And I'm like, bunch of retards, man. I'm like, it's crazy. Like, so, Canada's not like this, right?
No, we won't let you in, though.
Yeah, well, I don't want maple syrup, and your guys' hockey sucks. You could keep the hockey and syrup.
So since you're such a popular guy, since you know all this stuff and voted for Trump, and mm-hmm. all your liberal friends must love you.
Oh, yeah. What are you
doing for the holidays?
So what happened?
What are you doing for the holidays?
Well, I'm probably for Thanksgiving. I'm probably going to cook something here or get Chinese food. Everything else, like, I'm working a lot. Like, I'm getting close to like 30 hours a week, which is kind of unusual. But I'm like, it's good. Like, I got to pay my rent somehow, especially after buying this new phone. That was kind of what sucked. Like, my phone died Saturday, and I was without a phone for like 3 days.
Yeah, it was nice and quiet. I did appreciate that. Thank you.
No, because, like, actually, I want to start limiting my social media. I really don't need social media. Like, I just use it just to, like, talk shit, piss people off, and trigger them. Like, I really don't need it because I grew up in a time before – because, like, I'm 35 going on 36. I grew up before the internet was such a big thing, before social media and cell phones and all that stuff. Like, I really don't need it. And people are like, well, how are you going to promote your shit? I'm like, how did everyone else promote their shit before all that? It's called – there's a little thing called research what magazines and newspapers out there. You contact them, get their contact information, send emails. And people are just lazy now because they think, oh, because I have social media, I could just click it and you're going to see it and post it and shit. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like, yeah, it's just – it's crazy. So between the holidays and the election, I'm glad the election's over. It's been super cold. So yeah, so like that's my bones are starting to hurt with that. It's been like really unusually cold. It's been like in the 30s and 40s here at night, which is very rare for LA. Because like next week it's going to be 80 degrees. Like never consistent here.
So what's your love for Big J Okerson about?
Say what happened? Like what's about
your
like
love for Big J Okerson?
Dude, I love his comedy. So like have you watched his comedy? Like he writes good jokes, but a lot of his comedy is just like talking shit and having conversations with the audience. Like I like that. That's what I like about podcasting. Even it's like you're just talking with your guests or the audience and you kind of do that. It's kind of more an intimate setting. Where I feel like some comedy is so polished, so like stand-up-y, joke, over the top. I don't like that. I mean, I there's a time and place for it, but it's like you sit and watch these like virtual like Zoom stand-up shows and stuff, and these comedians are doing it, and they freaking suck. Like 80%, 90%, they freaking suck. And people are like, oh, it's because they're just on video. I'm like, no, because they think they're funny, but they're not good. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Get out.
All right, Chattel's out. my special today is a filmmaker, photographer. We met in the Sacramento film community, and we even collaborated on some projects and whatnot. He was an editor for my Chatted Jenna sketches. So let's welcome Diego Salazar on the 20 Minutes with Chad show.
What's happening? Thank you very much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So we know each other through the Sacramento film community. What's your thoughts on past and not present of the film community up there?
It's difficult. So when I initially started working in the local community, you know, there was this like attitude that, you know, Sacramento, like we have a lot of talented people, sure, but how are we going to bridge the gap between LA and Sacramento? And that was kind of always something that was like in the back of everybody's head, like, you know, how's LA going to take this? How is LA going to respect us in this way or whatever it is like that? And I think the way things have changed now is that, you know, fuck all that, you know, let's just make dope content. And I think that's where people kind of fall into the pitfalls of like trying to impress somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to bridge this gap to LA? How is LA going to respect us? That's old style of thinking, you know, in my opinion.
No, it's very true, because it's just like, that's what's funny, because I remember like Joe Carnahan, like I'm a big fan of his work, and he started in Sacramento, and then he did his own stuff, and then he moved down to LA. But then everyone who was like crewing on his stuff and his acting thing, they all got like butthurt and jealous. They're like, oh, he left us. He thinks he's better than us. And da da da. And I was just like, dude, like he did you guys favors. He's not going to like hold your hand through the whole process. You actually have to put the effort in.
Yeah.
Because he put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Don't get me wrong. Carnahan's a fucking dick. I ain't going to lie about that. Huh? Like,
you got to be a dick to get to a certain level. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly. And like, and that's the thing too. Like when I'm on set, I'm actually very laid back, relaxed. Yeah. And people love working with me. But beforehand, it's like I'm business savvy, where I'm like I'm cutthroat, where I work with the people I want to work with. And you've seen the stuff like when I did my sketch comedies with Jenna, where you edit some of the stuff and you know how I plan. I'm very detail oriented, so I'm like that's what I want to do. And like, what are you working on? Any projects or in pre-production or development, or are you just working a day job right now?
Well, I'm working the day job, and then one of my biggest things personally is that I want to be able to own what I do. You know what I mean? So when it comes to photography, videography, that kind of stuff, like I love being the ownership of it. I love having the ability to have the creative ownership of it, to be able to, you know, go at the pace that I want to. So when I started learning this new business, this is my day job, right? I got into it thinking, okay, well, if I'm going to spend any time here in this realm, I'm going to own it, or I'm going to get to the point where I can own it. So for about 2.5 years, I sort of put my creative self on the back burner, and I really just focused on learning this new industry in the automotive industry. I do automotive lifts. So I just like install lifts and shit like that, fix them or whatever. And so I've learned over the past 2.5 years, or I've been in the industry now for 4 years, but 2.5 years, I really focused on learning the industry. So the last year and a half, I've been able to sort of like trickle back into my creative self and start to work on creative projects. So right now, I'm just open to doing photography for customers, clients. So I've got like, you know, wedding coming up this month. I've got events that I shoot periodically, sporadically, stuff like that. Also, you know, I have the script that you gave me, you know, years ago that I fucking love, you know what I mean, that I want to do. And it's just like, I haven't felt like I've been able to put the time and respect into like nourishing that project, but I still want to do it if you'd allow me to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I've been putting it off for so long.
No, yeah, because like, I think I wrote that like script was like, it's funny because it's so weird, because I went through it the other day actually, because I was going through my cleaning out my hard drive and everything, and I saw the script. I was like, wow, I wrote that script. But you see, it's weird because when I write scripts, I usually try to like, I won't do it then and now, because I get really tunnel vision, very focused.
Yeah.
But when I finished, like I looked at it, like I would like, even though it's probably one of the best scripts I've written, like my script's getting better and better, like the more I write, of course.
Yeah.
But like that was like the best script I wrote for a while, but just like I can't go back to old scripts for some reason. Because people always laugh, like, why can't you go back to thing? I'm like, because my mentality is, like, never go back to the past. It's kind of weird. Yeah. It's like, so I have, like, a shitload of scripts. Say, like, I'm looking here, like, I have all these half-finished, like, scripts, nearly completed scripts. And I'm like, and I remember that. I'm like, and I still want you to direct it. I'm like, because I'm like, there's no way I'm directing it because there's no financial profit for me to do shorts, really. Like, I still have like three shorts that I want to produce, part of the my retro horror trilogy. Like, I still have two because Night Night was so big. And then I tried to do the next one, but it was like, because it was so successful. That's what kind of cracked me up, because Night Night was so successful out of all the stuff I've done for like 17 plus years in my career, like Crypt TV and like Orion Pictures was trying to buy it and all this stuff. I actually turned down $60,000 from them when I was just like, people are like, what, why? Yeah, I know. I kind of kicked myself in the ass about it, but then I'm like, you know.
Yeah, but they would only kick yourself in the ass so much and then you got to move on.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, I looked at it and it wasn't like, it wasn't that great of a deal, because I've seen people who had scripts to MGM and all this stuff and they paid them that much and then it goes nowhere. Like, they wanted, like, a lot of the rights. Like, if they made it into a feature, I would only get a story by credit. I wouldn't make money off the movie. So if it became, like, a $1 billion movie, I wouldn't see a dime. It's just, they're just going to take a story. I couldn't write it. I couldn't direct it. I had no involvement. They just want the story. So I was just like, okay. I'm like, whatever. But because I remember back to Blue Jay, like, what's it? Because Blue Jay now. Because originally it was called The Date. Then it was called Blue Jay. And which is a better thing, because like, I think it's like cope or blowjob for like based on a hooker, you know. But it's just like that. And then I remember we had like, you had like try, we're talking to Darcy Dolce to do it.
Yeah.
And that was funny. And I was like, because follow her. She's crazy, dude. I watched some of the stuff like, dude, like, I'm not a big fan of Armenian chicks. I know that sounds really bad. Like, I don't like Armenian chicks. Like, there's something about it. Everybody like, that's racist, that's prejudice. Like, no, Armenian chicks, no matter where they live, where they're from, they're worse. Like, they're like, they're worse than Russian chicks and Persians. Like, I know it sounds bad. And like, I dated a half Armenian, half Russian chick years ago. Like, it was sort of like, well, nothing serious. And it's just like, her dad did not like me type thing. I was like, ah, fuck this. And I'm like, but whatever. But yeah, no, I try to follow her once in a while. I'm just like, because I remember, like, her husband, because her husband's family's, like, had their own photography shop up in Sacramento. So I'm like, it's like, what? This Jewish guy is married to a porn star or what? And he does stuff and he changes name. I'm sitting there because I know all this. I'm like, wow. I'm like, geez. Because, like, it's weird because as a comedian and as a filmmaker, I know a lot of people in the adult entertainment industry. Like, it's weird. Like, I know because I went on a couple of dates. I remember
you were going to work with Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I did work with Ron Jeremy. I was actually his friend for a while, and then I was just like, he's kind of weird. He like was fucking everyone on the TV pilot. I was like, yikes. And when those rape charges came and stuff, I was sitting there, and everyone was like, oh my God, Ron Jeremy. I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, I worked with him. I am not shocked at all. Like, dude, it's just like the stories.
It felt like just like a couple months after I seen you posting work with them, he was on TMZ for Blow and Hookers. And I'm just like, that makes sense.
It really is. Cause like, it's funny because one of the funniest stories, that's how I put in my stand up too. But one of the funnest stories, like we were waiting for him to show up set and I was setting up the set, setting up the shots because he was running late. And, he's very professional, which is really weird. He's like, he's very professional. When he shows up, he has his shit down. Like, this story's going to crack you up. All of a sudden, my AD comes up to me and my producers, because I was just the director for hire. I had no say. I wasn't the showrunner. I just fucking directed the piece of shit, which was, when I shot it, it was great. And they went behind my back and they changed everything and they showed it to Adam Sandler and he said, who directed this piece of shit? Da, da, da. I'm like, it's a TV show. I didn't have no say. But the AD comes running and says, hey, we have a problem. And I'm like, what you mean? And the producers went and checked to see what's going on. And then they came back like, yo, we have a problem. I was like, ah, fuck, what now? Well, he was passed out in his car in the parking spot. He was like over the steering wheel, like mumbling, like he was like high or something. I was just like, oh, man. So we're like, yo, you all right, bud? Like, typing like, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was out of it. And we're like, you drove like this? And he was like mumbling. So we actually had to carry him out of his car to sit him down. Like, are we going to be able to shoot this? He's just like, say action. Da, da. Like, he was already in costume because he really doesn't – like, he does his own costume and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And then we put him in the chair. I'm like, this is not going to be good. Like, my DP was J.J. LeBritt, and he's also from Sacramento. He originally was down here, and he moved back up to Sacramento. And he was my DP, and he has a bunch of Emmys and stuff, like, for up there. So I'm sitting there like, okay, whatever. But – we're like, we start rolling camera, we say action, and all of a sudden he perks up and start freaking doing the whole scene. He did like a 5-page monologue, and I was like, what the hell? And then it cut, and he's just like, ugh, ugh. 20 minutes with Chad. Also, if you have any questions you want me to answer during the show, please hit us up on extrafeatures.ca. Shadows out.